And thank you there to Trent Langscale. He'll join us tomorrow for Friday Form because Nick Quinn is on assignment. He's on assignment. So it'll be Trent Langscale tomorrow morning. I've got a trivia question for you both. You know I love my footy trivia.
Yes.
Which was the AFL team that played home games at Bruce Stadium? They actually played AFL games at Bruce Stadium not that long ago.
It's not New Zealand, is it? It's Bruce Stadium in New Zealand?
No.
It's in Canberra.
They're playing the soccer tonight.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. There was an AFL team that played home games there.
It would have been St Kilda.
Incorrect.
Melbourne.
Incorrect.
Hawthorn.
Incorrect. Fitzroy.
Okay. Oh.
Fitzroy played home.
No, you said not that long ago. That's about 8
that
years
ago. 22 years ago since Fitzroy was in the competition.
That's
sad, 22 years. Andy Harper joins us. We're going to talk some soccer now because the Socceroos are in action tonight. But also the A-League season starts tomorrow night. We're finally back in action with the A-League. Andy, thanks very much for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a great time of year for us soccer fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know really where to start, whether to start with the Socceroos because it's tonight or the A-League because it starts tomorrow night. How much are you looking forward to this A-League season, particularly with a new team and a lot of key players changing clubs? How do you sort of see it?
Well, I'm always excited about the start of A-League, but then I'm excited about the start of any comp that I follow, as all your listeners would be. You know, when the Aussie Rules comes around next autumn, everyone's gagging for the comp to start after the break. And as much as the competitions, you know, AFL with the draft and NRL with various tournaments, and soccer does seem to go for a long time, these sports try to keep things going in the off-season. There's nothing like the white-hot competition for 3 points, and that starts for the A-League this weekend, and soccer fans can't wait for it. It's been a very difficult few years for the game because of the Civil War, but I think we're very happy to say that's behind us now, and we can build solidly for a much improved future starting on Friday night with Adelaide and Sydney. It'll be a good season. It'll be a lot of fun. A new team from the western area of Melbourne, Western United, that's going to provide a lot of spice. Melbourne derbies all over the place this season, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
How do you think the new team in Western Melbourne will go? Because we haven't heard much about them. We know, obviously, about Victory and Sydney, but they've kind of gone under the radar, and that's been kind. We haven't heard much about them at all.
I would suggest that you probably haven't heard much from anyone in soccer circles up until now. And that's been the function of a few circumstances. But what I can tell you about Western United is they've been very well put together. This team is going to be very competitive from the get-go. Of course, the biggest name to your listenership would be the return of Besart Berisha, formerly of Melbourne Victory, to the A-League. He'll be leading the attack for Western United. They've got two fantastic foreigners in Panayotis Kone and Alexander Diamante, a Greek and an Italian, both extreme pedigree out of Europe. Mark Rudan, second-year coach in the A-League, did a brilliant job with Wellington. He's put together a really good team. And it's important for Western United. The big story about them is that they're going to be the first professional team in Australia of any code to own their own stadium. Now, that process is underway. It's about 3 years off. So they'll be playing in assorted venues out of Geelong and whatnot in the meantime. So it's really important that whilst they're building this stadium and getting their home ready, they build a very, very competitive team to get people noticing them. And I think they'll achieve that. Very impressed with their recruitment.
Andy, you talk about what happened over the past couple of years with the A-League, and you talk about building solidly for the future. What do you think are the key aspects to do that over the next couple of years? Melbourne Victory chairman talks about the game might be in a holding pattern for 12 months, but how do you think the game can build, well, not quickly, but like you say, solidly?
Well, I think it can build quickly. The game in Australia is incredibly resilient. It's incredibly popular. The A-League has, over the last decade and a half, given it its best chance at club level to grow on the back of the enormous foundations laid by the NFL over, 20-odd years. So there's a really deep seedbed for soccer. What it needs in the immediate term is this consolidation, which the clubs are talking about, and then investment, and then an ownership group who are just dead set on winning the thing. And over time, there have been owners who've come and gone from the league whose focus has really been more on occupying a licence. David Gallop referred to it, quote-unquote, as squatting on a licence. And, you know, that doesn't really excite fans. They want clubs and owners who are desperate to win the thing. It sounds crazy talking in those terms about professional sport, but I think that criticism could have been levelled on one or two occasions at various clubs. So that's the most important thing. And the next thing is that people need to be aware of, it really does take a little bit of time to build intergenerational, obviously by definition, support for your teams. Now, you look at the might and power of the AFL and we all sit back in wonder, particularly if you don't live in Victoria. If you live north of the Murray, put it that way, I mean, Adelaide people get it and Perth people get it. But if you live north of the Murray, you just look at the AFL in wonder. And what you realise is that it's a great competition, but that's not its strength. The strength of the AFL are these massive clubs with huge connection from their fans going over 100 years. That, 100 years doesn't happen overnight by its very definition. And that's what aspiring leagues like the A-League need to focus on. And work hard in the meantime, invest smartly, get aggressive, want to win the thing, bring fans to you. But the benchmark is the AFL, and they've got an unbridled advantage in the fact that they're 100 years older.
Andy, on Victory and City down here, what's your take on who might end up better this year?
We're all waiting for Melbourne City to become what they need to become. And until they do, I'll sort of hold the reins back on them. Melbourne Victory have got form on the board. I think they've put together another fantastic team. They've lost a lot of talent, but they've brought in some fantastic players. I mean, players with top-level European international experience, not just club experience. Jakob Poulsen, the Dane, is an incredibly clever player. He's got 30 or 40 caps for the Danish national team. And you know, they're always very, very competitive in European and World Cup campaigns. And he's probably the highlight on the back of Ola Toivonen, who's in for his second year captain of the club, the Swedish star. Andrew Nabut and Robbie Cruz, you know, a lot of firepower, a lot of athleticism, enormous amount of quality in the recruitment. And, you know, Melbourne Victory are going to be very difficult to beat. The strange thing about the A-League is, although it's an equalised competition with salary cap and limits to the roster, etc., there's a definite heavyweight division already in the A-League, and it's certainly the teams out of Sydney and Melbourne. With Perth now under Tony Popovich, just making it very difficult for an outsider to get into that top five. But that remains the challenge for everyone. And I think of the two in Melbourne, Victory have their noses clearly in front.
Now, talk about heavyweights, Australia v Nepal. What are we expecting tonight?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a few ways to look at this. Firstly, the national team of Australia is playing for World Cup qualifying points. So that's the most important thing. The next thing is, you know, the team, how it goes. It's still early, relatively early in Graham Arnold's tenure. And these teams which don't provide the same sort of opposition are an opportunity for the coach and players to get some systems and some form bedded down, and particularly for someone to bang some goals away and start getting into the habit of scoring goals, which has been difficult at national team level and gets increasingly difficult as we play the bigger teams. The third point is to enjoy the occasion, particularly from a Nepal viewpoint. I mean, this is like their World Cup final. Mm. And you speak to Nepal fans, and given, you know, the troubles in that country, you know, the economic issues, the corruption in sport, which is, you know, widely reported, and how that impacts upon teams like their national football team in being competitive. They don't even have a dream of coming to Australia, playing in the capital against one of the best teams in Asia. This is a lifetime experience for these fans, and Australia is hosting this, and it's a big thing. You know, we've got 100,000 or so Nepalese Australians as part of our community. They'll be in Canberra in big numbers, celebrating their culture, and this is one of the magical aspects of these World Cup qualifying campaigns against these teams from whom not much is expected, but they'll deliver a big party atmosphere. It'll be a lot of fun.
So, Andy, the World Cup's still 2 years away, or over 2 years away.
Yeah.
There's always a player from these qualifiers that will shine. Who's the one that we can expect to see shine over these over this qualifying series?
Well, great. Just to that point, I'm not sort of dodging it, but I think the most interesting thing in a player sense is the new guys Graham Arnold is bringing in. New guys, like Harry Souter's tipped to play tonight. Now, when he, if he gets interviewed after the game or around the game tonight and viewers are listening and think, mate, he should be playing for Glasgow Rangers or Celtic, not Australia, that they wouldn't be mistaken. He's qualifies for Australia by his mother's lineage. I don't know that he's ever lived in Australia, let alone been here. And he'll be playing tonight. You know, he's a big lad. Graham Arnold's got a massive rat. And, you know, he has been making contact with a lot of individuals like Harry who may have been born in Australia and left early or who qualify for Australian citizenship through their parents. And he's finding whatever player he can. And Harry Souter, who I think will play tonight, is just one of these. So it's not, at this point, it's not which player is going to lead the line for us, because to be, you know, to answer that question really directly, it's going to be a Matthew Leckie and Aaron Moy and a Matt Ryan who'll be the star players for us. But the bigger interest is how many other players can Graham Arnold find for the national cause? And tonight it's Harry Souter's turn, and we'll see how he goes. Just don't expect to understand a thing he says when he's interviewed.
Andy, thanks very much for your time. We always enjoy chatting football with you, and yeah, we'll see how it all unfolds tonight, but also with the A-League season.
Yeah, that's my pleasure. Thanks for having it.